welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Ruth, who do we got on the bus tonight?
Well, of course, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you. We have Sister Emily, Sister Lila, Em's dad, and little old me.
All right. So we'll start off with Lila. And you better watch all those crumbs there, Lila, with all those cookies. So how you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Missionary Wolfgang, and no, I'm not Cookie Monster anymore. My name's Smurfette.
Well, still watch out eating all those cookies tonight.
Of course. I do have two prayer requests. One for my friend Heather Sestak. Her grandma had a really bad stroke. Please pray that she's still gets over it and she still stays with us. And for myself, because I found out that I have an ingrown toenail on my left big toe. Those are my two top prayer requests. Okay?
All right. And as always here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, we just want to remind everybody there's no smoking of any type allowed on the bus. If you do, you'll take a ride on the Six Eyes Gospel Police outside this coach because you won't be allowed to light it on this coach. Also, grab the seat backs or the overhead racks for your safety as you go to the bathroom that's provided in the back of the bus and accompany any smart children and close the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Amen.
Very funny, Missionary Wolfgang.
Yeah. All right. So, Emily, how are you doing tonight?
Feeling with my fingers.
All right.
I won't do my normal that I say because it's inappropriate for the show. And I don't want to get in trouble with the head of the Six Eyes Police either.
Dang to him right, Sister Emily.
I ain't getting my tail in no hot water. Done it once, won't
do it.
Neither
am I.
All right. All righty.
Let's hear from Sister Ruth.
All right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a couple personal requests. That's it.
Remember, Dad, who's in the hospital, as well as my mom, that's still at the rehab center. And my other normal request. And also be keeping me in prayer because I haven't been feeling so kosher all day.
And Mr. Mary Wilking, if you need the name of Heather's grandmother, it's Carla Sustek.
Can I offer to sweep up after?
Okay, that's up to you if you want to do that, Sister Ruth.
Anybody gets crumbs on the bus tonight, they'll be on the clean duty scrubbing it with a toothbrush.
No, they'll be scrubbing it with their own personal toothbrush at that much, Sister Emily.
I happen to be bus monitor on here, so what I say goes.
Well, I was just trying to give you a little hint there.
Nah, I give them an old broke-up toothbrush to do it with and let them see them have fun.
Oh, that's even better, Sister Emily.
I better quit being bad in case the boss of Six Eyes Police is listening in via internet. Otherwise, I'll be in deep too.
Me too, and I go second for that one.
Can you bring me that clock from the other room? How you doing? How you doing? Come on.
I appreciate it.
Back again. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
I
walk a little bit.
Well, all I can say is one. You were alive I should run away, 'cause life is hitting me in the face. Hey, hey, but I'm here, and I'll never surrender to fear. Retreating, be defeated, no way, 'cause I can't, I can't.
What, baby? I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere, okay?
Family, your mic's unmuted.
Oops, sorry. Thank you for letting me know, Lila.
Like the guy who sits on a throne with a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12.
Beloved, and get not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
All right, and we'll hear that one more time.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
And that was found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, which tells us that we're not supposed to think it strange concerning those trials which hit us from time to time. Found once again in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Amen. And as we roll along with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus tonight, we want to touch on a little subject. It'll be a real quickie mini sermon, if you will. Asked as a request, but we will be touching on it in the future here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, on the subject of giving or receiving a deaf ear. Okay? Now, should we give a deaf ear to our brothers or sisters in Christ? Or to anyone, for that matter? If you say you're a Christian, that answer is this. The answer is no. Should we give a deaf ear to somebody else? The answer is no. And the reason I say that, there are two scriptures that most emphatically tell us that. First off, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise, for this is the law and the prophets. So how would you want others to treat you? If you don't want others to give you the deaf ear, then you should not be giving it in the first place. The way you want to be treated is the way you should treat others first. Don't worry about them reciprocating. You worry about doing it first. And secondly, Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you do unto me. So when you give someone the cold shoulder, the deaf ear, remember, you're doing it to Christ. Amen. All right. And with that, I think we'll go right back into our music tonight. And we hope that's been beneficial. And we will be dwelling more on that later in a future broadcast. Amen.
No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is in His hand.
Hallelujah. feeling what God's feeling. No matter what may come my way. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what you're going through, His grace and mercy do it for me. He loves you. I know He does.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12.
Beloved, and get not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
All right, and we'll hear that one more time.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
And that was found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, which tells us that we're not supposed to think it strange concerning those trials which hit us from time to time. Found once again in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Amen. Amen. And those trials do hit us. No matter who we are, we're not immune from being hit by trials. But the Bible tells us to not be worried about them, because we all have to hit those trials. And not to think it strange when those trials hit us from time to time. Why? Because God walks with us during those trials. Amen. All right. Someone want to give a testimony?
I just want to praise the Lord for how he's been helping me with the sickness that I have. And I believe he's going to heal it eventually. I just have to be patient, and I believe he'll take care of me.
Anyone else?
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thank God, even though yesterday I got caught in the rain, and today it's making me feel not so kosher. I still was able to get done part of what I had to do yesterday, even though I had to go back out today to do the one thing, but God still saw fit to keep me from getting hurt when I fell yesterday.
Okay.
And I thank God for my pastor, who, even though he's a comedian and can sometimes get after me, and I don't like it when he has to, I still thank God for him anyway.
Amen. How about you, Lila?
Unmute yourself, Lila.
You
Anyone else want to say anything while I'm locating our next song?
Kenny, just a little bit ago, I received a text from a friend of mine. Her last name is Simpson. I got the text earlier I was telling you about while we were out doing what business we had to take care of, that she had asked prayer for her family. And earlier I got a text from her that the party she was asking prayer for and her family did not make it. God chose to take them home, so the family needs comfort from God right now.
Okay. Well, that was just enough time in. Thank you very much. Now we got the next song for you.
Okay.
Part of me loves the world and the other loves you. So what do? I wanna be saved, but I gotta stay cool too. And no, I'm not a fool. I know eventually I'm gonna have to choose. And really, I don't wanna lose my ticket into heaven and a chance to be used by you. And if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around, because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. Lord, I realize when it comes to sin, you just don't compromise. See, it's a matter of death and life. Be weak and do wrong, or be strong and do right. And I don't want to keep going to church, singing all about how much you're worth, and then continue doing my dirt, living as if I didn't care if you're hurt. Cause if it's God that I'm after, we just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around, because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. I gotta, please help me. me get it together. Cause if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around. Cause you know you can't just have your cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. You gotta be white or black. No, it don't work like that. You gotta be white or black. Yeah, it don't work like that. You gotta be white or black. No, it don't work like that. You gotta be white or black. The title of this song is no gray, no shades of gray. No, 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 you gotta be white or black.
I don't care my heart. to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-825. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. And tonight I got a good little message for you. Even though it was requested talking about the deaf ear, I'm going to be coming out of a little different tack, a little different area. And let's first look at our scripture context tonight, which is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
All right. Now, to kind of answer the question about the deaf ear, okay, basically all inconveniences, better known as disabilities, fall under this category. In the Bible, every disability was known to have stigma, a bad name, if you will. Whether you had epilepsy, whether you had deafness, whether you had blindness, no matter what you had this bad name to you. They thought you were devil-possessed. They also thought that you had some sin in your life. For our challenged friends, for our friends who happen to have a disability, let me say something to you. Jesus cleared up a very valuable point. His disciples, you notice, came with the very same question, the same attitude. Can you imagine? These are men who are following Jesus. These are men who eat with Jesus, who drink with Jesus, and as they're eating and with drinking with Jesus, they have what? An attitude. Can you picture this? They got an attitude. They still have the attitudes of the day around them. What was the attitude? That if a person has a challenge, a disability, oh, you're a big fat sinner. You've caused your own problem. That's why you have blindness. Why? It's why you're deaf. Because you're a big fat dirty rotten sinner. You dirty rotten sinner, you. You, because you sit there, and that's the reason you've got this affliction, because you have sinned. And that's why God is punishing you. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? John chapter 9. When they came to him with this attitude, and they asked him, with this attitude, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? It's either got to be him or his parents or the dirty, rotten buzzards. Jesus, who's the buzzard? Who's the dirty, rotten devil? Jesus says, nope, you got it all wrong. This man's not being punished. Dear listener, you're not being punished. It may be a result of, it can be, it might be a result of the inherited sin from Adam and Eve. It may be a result of some sin that you did by getting in a barroom brawl that caused you to lose your eyesight or something. Or it may be the cause of your parents sinning, drinking, caused a birth defect. Or cause of drugs and cause a birth defect. So their sin caused your problem. Could be. Could be. But it's not necessarily the answer. Jesus said, neither did this man, this particular man, sin, nor his parents.
So you may not have purposely sinned, nor your parents. You may be innocent in the whole thing. But notice what Jesus answered. He said that the works of God should be manifest in him. God wants to use you as you are. You can be used of God despite the fact that you have an inconvenience. You don't have to be sitting on a corner of the pew in the back of the church, treated like a dog. That's all because of bad attitudes. God can use you. He used Moses, who had a speech impediment, couldn't speak right, couldn't talk right, but used Moses to lead a people out of bondage. He used many people. He used Paul. According to Scripture, he was legally blind, but he wrote a good majority of the New Testament. But as the Bible teaches, you are special to God. Because the Bible teaches, Jesus taught, the works of God should be manifest in you. Has nothing to do with whether you sin. Now, if you have sinned, and it was a direct cause of your sin, then what you need to do is ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to cleanse you. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, and he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's your promise. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the first thing you need to do, ask Christ into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Accept his death on the cross as your substitute. And take you from hell to heaven. But if you know Christ, remember, you are special to him. Just as special as that person who has all his abilities. Two good eyes, two good ears, two good feet. You are as special as he is. Because Christ said that the works of God should be manifest in him. You are special. Has nothing to do with your inabilities. Has to do with your abilities that you can use for God. Amen. So with that, I'm going to close and ask you tonight, do you know Christ is your Savior? If you're breathing, come. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunity for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me. And through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe, for comfort in the time of sorrow, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in a time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in the time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
My private devotion, just what does it mean to hide behind doors where I cannot be seen? Just bending the knee or closing the eye and worshiping one far above the sky. Spending long hours just lingering there, talking or crying. Is that secret prayer? Lo, I am with you always, he has said. So he must be near me in church or in bed. I need not long distance, but just be aware of his sacred presence. Just look, he is there. So in deep supplication, the soul bowing down with glad adoration, with praise and renown, while washing the dishes, mopping the floor, sweeping and dusting, and many things more. I shut to the door of my heart, and find him, ere ready, his love to impart. I open mine eyes, the eyes of my heart, and he is so near me, it gives me a start. My secret devotion, makes my heart swell. I ponder and ponder. It's too sacred to tell.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right.
and you used that song before, but along with that poem, I think we can use, you know, verses like Do Not Be Made. But no, I think I would stick with, in Deuteronomy 31, it says, having the Lord, he is, he is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And the song was talking about if God will remove itself from us, Lord of help. And so we wouldn't have Lord of help, but he assures us that he will not leave us. And so I think the poem itself takes us to let us know that God will be there for us. And God would definitely not withdraw himself from us. In Revelation, he said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. And so we're close. So, I think even a better one is, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, I might have used that earlier on something else in the information, but that's to know, that's the assurity, to know that God is not turning away from us. If we reach out to him, he's reaching out to us. So our confidence can be in him. We can use Psalms 141 to know that he's there for us. And maybe I explained it right. I don't know.
Well, you were close, and right at the end there, you finally hit on it. You finally hit on it, so I'm going to give it to you. When you were talking about reaching out to him, the person in the poem was reaching out to God in prayer, and in the song, they were reaching out to God in prayer. So when you finally said, talked about reaching out to God, I'll finally give it to you because you finally hit on the right point. So I'll give it to you. You almost missed it. You almost missed it.
Amen. I'm telling you, that's why you have to keep praying. A man is always to pray and faint not. So, thank you. That is a wonderful thing. The key word there would be prayer. I guess you're right. I guess I did kind of get there eventually. And that's how we are sometimes in life. Challenges may come, and we may try to do this, that, and the other. But if we just stop and pray, we'll find a better answer with God as our guide. So thank you. That's very good. I enjoyed that, Ken.
All right. And while we're taking a little time for a little prayer here, we're going to hear about the great programming to be found here at the Success Radio Network and a few other messages. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast shall walk among us. Far away. Hey, man, whoa.
sorrow. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. This world is gonna burn.
This lesson is entitled, Mysteries in the Bible. People often say the Bible is a mysterious book. They can't understand it, so they don't read it. Possibly you've heard that very comment yourself. That is an incorrect attitude relative to the Bible because we have the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and he's ready to explain it all. Who will honestly endeavor to understand it? It's true, there are many mysteries in the Bible, but most of those mysteries have long ago been revealed, and there is no excuse for anybody failing to understand the Bible. In this lesson, we want to look at some of the mysteries in the Bible. Okay, first of all, let's get an explanation or meaning for the word mystery. Mystery is a Greek word, mysterion, meaning something previously hidden, but now fully revealed. So, if there are as many so-called mysteries in the Bible for you, as an individual, you have the right to understand them. That is, if you're willing to accept the truth as revealed in Scripture. This word mystery does not appear in the Old Testament, but it does make its appearance some 27 times in the New Testament. It always refers to any doctrine or subject that has not in former times been made fully known, but in the New Testament is completely revealed. For instance, let's start with the mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Okay, and the script, okay, this is a scripture. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11 in King James Version. Here we have Jesus Christ using parables for the sole purpose of revealing mysteries. We're probing the first mystery in our study, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The three Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, say almost exactly the same thing. We read what Matthew said and Mark says in chapter 4, verse 11. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Luke changes the wording slightly, but the context is the same because we hear him saying in this scripture, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Luke 8:10 in the King James Version. What is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus Christ was establishing something brand new among the Jew of his day when he kept telling them about the kingdom of God, and then on the other occasions, he would tell them about the kingdom of heaven. What he was saying was that a king was coming from heaven to rule upon the earth, and that kingdom would be the kingdom of God. It's that simple. In other words, Jesus Christ actually came to be the king of Israel, but they turned their backs upon him, denied him, falsely accused him, and demanded that the Roman courts condemn him to death, which they did. Yet his death has in no way affected or eliminated the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, because Jesus Christ will eventually return to this earth, and he will fulfill all the prophecies which are yet unfulfilled concerning the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The Bible plainly declares in the Gospel of Matthew, here's the scripture, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's Matthew 25:31 in the King James Version. The writer of the last book in the Bible, the beloved Apostle John, got an apocalyptic vision of Christ coming from heaven as a king to take over his rightful throne in the kingdom of God, and he describes it in this manner. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16 in the King James Version. And I think you all want Jesus to be the one to rule Israel and the whole world, because that's why. He's God. So, you know, he's the best one to rule. But my husband, I think, would be the President of the United States. This is a picture of the King of Heaven coming down to assume the rightful rulership of the kingdom of God. In other words, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God has long ago been clarified, because Jesus Christ in his day spoke to the people in parables, so the Jews, the immediate brethren of Christ, would understand what it was talking about, but the people outside of the realm of the Jews would not know. That's why Jesus said unto them, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Matthew 13:11. So the mystery which has confused a lot of people down through the centuries of time, including the Jewish people back there in the days of Christ, is that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are interchangeable. And the phrase simply means that a king is going to come from heaven and he's going to rule over the little kingdom of God on the earth. We're ready to take up the second mystery of the Bible. We now want to examine the mystery concerning Israel's blindness that Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, chapter 11. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Romans 11:25. Please note that the Apostle Paul calls this blindness upon Israel a mystery. In other words, it was something which was previously hidden from the people because the population of the world in the time of the first coming of Christ was not actually aware that blindness had come upon Israel. For all outward appearances, they were acting in a normal manner. But so the 196 prophecies which had been given for the first coming of Christ, beginning with the initial promise of the coming Redeemer in Genesis 3:15, on up to the time that Christ was born, the virgin woman in Bethlehem, actually Israel had been rather unconcerned about the whole affair. Israel could have been waiting and watching for the coming of the Messiah, but Jesus Christ came. People were not looking. The reason being a spiritual blindness had happened to Israel. Let me go in just a step further and prove my position in the matter by sharing the word of God, which says this very thing. According as it is written, God hath given them, Israel, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Romans 11 and verse 8. Isaiah the prophet, writing 700 years B.C., makes mention of this spiritual blindness because he says, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Isaiah 29, verses 10 through 12. So way back, 700 B.C., the prophet Isaiah saying exactly what the apostle Paul said in the first century A.D., but apostle Paul is making known a mystery. In other words, the Israelites were blinded spiritually speaking. This explains why they weren't watching and ready for the first coming of Christ, but it was only in the first century A.D. that the apostle Paul makes known the mystery. You will note in Romans 11:25, he says, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In other words, the spirit of blindness is going to continue upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is completed, until God is finished with the Gentile nations, and then he will turn to Israel. And at that time, the scales from their spiritual eyes will drop off, and they will see and understand all they should. Please bear in mind, a mystery in Scripture is something previously hidden, but now fully revealed. When you look at these mysteries in the Bible in the light of this explanation, then you can readily see why the writer says, I'm going to reveal a mystery. Third mystery we want to examine at this time concerns the mystery of the gospel. When we say the gospel, we're referring to the glad tidings, to the good news that the Bible contains for all mankind. This gospel has been a mystery for centuries to many people because Paul seems to have been chosen by God to make known or clarify certain biblical mysteries. He declares in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20 in your King James Version. Please note this phrase, to make known the mystery of the gospel, in other words, the gospel message of the New Testament, which is the glad tidings that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, is revealed in the New Testament. This message was not heard in the Old Testament, although the plan of salvation is outlined in the Old Testament. And once we read the New, then we see how it is illuminated in the Old, but this message is first proclaimed in the New Testament. That's why Paul says, I'm going to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's the real purpose of every true Bible-teaching church. Every evangelical Christian organization, including every true gospel broadcaster, is to make known the mystery of the gospel, showing men and women how, after they hear the message of salvation, they can become sons of God, children of God, on their way to heaven with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Apostle Paul was given the great responsibility of making known the mystery of the gospel. The word mystery is used in the New Testament simply means that all of which the sense is not obvious, that only by a divine revelation can we grasp and understand it. That's why the natural man is unable to grasp and understand the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to the average man, because he does not see the need for it. Therefore, he isn't able to rationalize the reason for the gospel. There has to be a divine revelation present in the heart mind of the individual to grasp the gospel, which enables a person to have forgiveness of sin, his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then on his way to the Glory Land. Thank God that mystery of the gospel has now become known. We have learned the great truths of God's word concerning this gospel. When we look at the mystery of salvation in Christ, people are doing that about everything they can think of under the sun as a means of salvation. That is, those who are conscious of eternity at all are busy with their own plan of salvation. But there's a mystery of salvation in Christ, and the Apostle Paul mentioned in his letter to the Romans. Here's the scripture. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 16, verses 25 to 26. In other words, what he says in these two verses of scripture could actually be a second postscript, which Paul added after his arrival to Rome and after he had written the Ephesians concerning the mystery, which had been kept separate from ages past. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that the dispensation of the grace of God was not revealed to mankind during the first 4,000 years of time. This is confirmed in Ephesians, where he says, which in outer ages was not made known unto the sons of men, is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians 3:5. In other words, Paul is letting all mankind know that salvation comes through Christ. Praise God. When we say salvation in Christ, we are referring to the redemptive act and process of taking an individual who is an unforgiven sinner, hellbound, having him place his sins at the foot of the cross, receive forgiveness of sin, have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then become a son of God on his way to glory. That's salvation, and the salvation is only in Christ. Praise God. Next scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other, for those is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, King James Version. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul continues to go a step further because he's talking about the mystery of Christ in men. This is summed up in two verses of scripture where he says, here it is, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Please note that phrase, which is Christ is you, the hope of glory. In other words, this is mystery, and if the Apostle Paul has not taken time, of course, under the direct supervision of the Holy Spirit, to explain this mystery, it would still be unrevealed. But Christ in you is no mystery to the born-again individual because we realize that Christ actually dwells inside the individual. Whether you're particularly familiar with the fact that Christ indwells you or not, I'm not able to say, but the scripture clearly points out this tremendous fact. Here it is. In a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. John 14, verses 19 through 20 in the King James Version. I know that makes me feel wonderful knowing he's in there. In other words, the Apostle Paul made the statement that he could do all things through Christ that dwelleth in me. It's a mystery to the world, but of those of us of the household of the faith, the mystery has been revealed. Please bear in mind that a mystery is something previously hidden from the eyes of mankind, but now has been fully revealed. You ask a worldly man today, if Christ dwells in him, he won't know what you're talking about. Of course, we know Christ doesn't dwell in the unbeliever, but those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God know that Christ does dwell in them. Another intriguing mystery in the Bible is the one concerning the church. When you mention church, immediately the image flashes through your mind of a beautiful building on a corner lot with cars parked all the way around and a great crowd going up the steps underneath the bell tower, passing into the auditorium or sanctuary or some call them. That's a picture of the church, but note that the Apostle Paul has to say about the mystery concerning the church. Here it is. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:7-10 in KJV. In other words, the mystery of the church reveals that God began making Jews and Gentiles one new body to demonstrate to the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God in the eternal purpose. In other words, the eternal purpose of God is that in the ages to come, all of his creatures will be purged of all possibility of rebellion, so that God could show the exceeding riches of his grace toward them in all ages to come without fear of eternal rebellion. He purposing this through the church, because in the church, we are all one in Christ. He's performing this through the church. Paul simplifies this by saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:2. King James Version. So, incorporated in the mystery of the gospel is the mystery of salvation in Christ and the mystery of the church, and they're all plainly set forth that men might understand and have the revelation of truth in these last days. Next, I want to examine the mystery of the rapture of the church. It's amazing how far-reaching this mystery really is, but so many so-called Christian leaders have not been able to grasp this great truth, and there are those today who disprove or deny or preach contrary to the rapture of the church. Next, one man offered $1,000 to prove the rapture to him. To begin with, he didn't have $1,000, and when they asked him to put the money in escrow, put it in a bank, and let impartial judges make the decision as to who would get the money after the secret of the rapture was proven. His wife and her said her husband was qualified to be the judge, and he would make the decision. Of course, I'm not a fool, and why should I waste my time with an immature individual like that? Let's examine the mystery of the rapture of the church. Here's scripture. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are at Christ at his coming. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, they shall be brought to pass. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:23 and 51-54. You'll know here in this scripture, Paul says, I shew you a mystery. What he's going to reveal, that all will not die physically, is saying that the living will be changed from mortality to immortality as quickly as the dead will be raised to immortality. Time needed for this is but a moment in the twinkling of an eye. It will happen at the last of two trumpets, which will sound at that time. At the first trumpet, the dead will be raised to immortality. At the second trumpet, the living will be changed to immortality and be caught up with those who are asleep in Christ to meet the Lord in the air. This is the revelation of Paul's mystery concerning the dead, concerning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. This is concerning born out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, where the apostle declares, but I would not have you too ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even of those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we shall alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17 in the King James Version. And okay, Ray, I'm ready to go, sweetie, but we got to make sure everybody's ready first, so I'll hold out. And I tell you right now, I go right straight through the roof whenever he's ready. This is further substantiated in the book of Romans, because there we have more of the revelation concerning what will happen to these physical bodies after they die, and it's a day of resurrection. In other words, there's going to be a resurrection of the godly, and there will be a resurrection of the ungodly or unrighteous, and these two resurrections are at least 1,000 years apart.
Paul says in the book of Romans, for the explaining the mystery of the translation of the church, sometimes referred to as the rapture of the church. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8:11 KJV. This phrase, quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, means that God is going to make alive again. He's going to send back with your soul and spirit from paradise a portion of his spirit, which will go into the dead clay body, and that body will come alive again, and that body will be raised of the grave. You say you don't understand how that could possibly happen. All right, let me explain it for you simply by reading from the Bible. May I suggest you not go outside of the Bible to try to explain this great mystery? There's no explanation outside of Scripture. Here it is. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be. But bare grain, it may change of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. 1 Corinthians 15:35-38, and of course your King James Version. Here we have the Apostle Paul illustrating and proving the resurrection of the body of the believer by a grain of wheat or other grain. In other words, we have every reason to believe that man will have his own body, not that of another. He will have his own color, appearance, size, shape, features, and characteristics, because, after all, we're going to know each other in heaven after we're resurrected and translated to the glory land. So there'll have to be some kind of resemblance of the original body, or else how would we recognize and know each other there? But the mystery of the translation of the church was not known to the Old Testament saints, although they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's Hebrews 11:10, King James Version. Already there's a religious order in the world teaching that someday God is going to remove the heretics from this earth. I'm glad I'm one of the heretics, because not only will I be fulfilling the prophecy of that particular religious order, but be taking part in the fulfillment of the mystery of the translation or rapture of the church. All over this world, in a moment of time, multiplied thousands, yet millions, whether their bodies sleep in the ground or walk upon the earth, be caught up in a moment of time to meet Christ in the clouds of glory. That's the mystery, the rapture of the church. We now want to deal with a very important mystery of the Bible. This one especially interesting to the student of Bible prophecy. It has to do with the mystery of Babylon. Let us read two verses of Scripture. Here they are. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Revelation 17:5-7, King James Version. There's a teaching among some Bible teachers and lay Bible students that ancient Babylon will be rebuilt, will become a great economic and trade center of worldwide domination. Personally, I did not see this at all, not because I'm blind or stubborn, but because the Bible does not say ancient Babylon is to be rebuilt. Although we have seen in past years newspaper clippings that the city was going to be rebuilt, but may I say that other than excavations, there's no evidence of the city coming to life again. It's barely a tourist attraction and nothing else. I've been there, I know. Well, yet, when the study of Book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, we have here, through divine inspiration, a picture of Babylon. Chapter 17 is God's view, and chapter 18 is man's view. In other words, in chapter 17, God sees Babylon as a woman of ill fame, abominable pretensions, corrupted, and blasphemies. Yet, in chapter 18, we look at it through the man's eyes, and he sees a great city, attractive, wealthy, and very religious. Isn't it strange that God sees one way and man another, such as the case with Babylon in the book of Revelation? In the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, God's view of Babylon is put forth, and Babylon is spoken of as a woman. She's supposed to be sitting upon the water. She has committed fornication with the kings of the earth. She's arrayed in beautiful clothing, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and diamonds and pearls, magnificent jewelry. She's described as being carried on a beast that is seven heads and ten horns. So the seven heads are seven mountains in which the woman sitteth, and the ten horns are ten kings, which we know to be actually nations which are to rise to great power in the 70th week of Daniel, and because they are to collaborate with the Antichrist and make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's Revelation 17:14 in King James Version. Then the whole thing is concluded by God giving the revelation of the woman verse 18, where the Apostle John says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth," Revelation 17, 18, KJV. This is God's view of Babylon. God has nothing complimentary about her, because she was spoken of as a woman of ill reputation, a woman who had been instrumental in corrupting the ways of mankind, very blasphemous, and a woman who holds in her pretty hands the power of the nations of this earth, because she's spoken of as a city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, we have the revelation of her destruction. It's plainly spelled out in everyday language, because John says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath for fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Revelation 18, 1 through 3 in KJV. If you would continue to read throughout the rest of the chapter 18, you'll find that great city, which is the end of the 70th week of Daniel, is to be literally destroyed, has become a worldwide instrument of influence, not only from the religious standpoint, but also from the economic standpoint, governmental or political standpoint, so much so that when she's finally destroyed, that's when she's finally annihilated from this earth as a political and religious force, John in the 18th chapter declares. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her," Revelation 18:20. In other words, there's to be rejoicing in the heavenlies when God takes vengeance on those who have, down through the centuries of the New Testament church, been persecuted by this particular woman, which God, through the Apostle John, describes as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Revelation 17:18. Isn't it rather strange, though, that God uses one city called Babylon and literally multiplied millions of readers of the scriptures down through the ages are confused, and they don't understand where the city is? All one has to do is to identify the city, is to observe its practices. You will find that many of its doctrines, precepts, and sets originated in ancient Babylon, and it's enslaved itself in the practices of the Babylonian cult, and God has so selected to identify that city as Babylon. Thus, we have the mystery of Babylon revealed in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and I would recommend reading both. Okay, and the next lesson will be the Bible and science.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and Brother Jim. Praise God, he's getting better and everything. So there we go. And just little old me.
All right. So, Emily, you got any questions for us tonight? Let's see if she's got her coffee.
Nope.
No, no coffee?
No coffee, because if I drink it this time of night, I'll be up all night.
Well, anyway, so, any questions?
Nope, well, I gotta say that was nice. Ow. And I just outkicked myself.
Yep. But what'd you think of the new format tonight?
I like that.
Alrighty. So, this is, we're slowly changing into our new format. We're gonna be the last couple weeks or so, maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now, with the last of the songs like we played tonight, and then we're going to be changing over to a country southern gospel theme, which we'll be staying with. So all know that that's coming up. So we are slowly switching over to that format for the Wednesday Gospel Show. So with that, what we're going to do is it's a toss-up, going once, going twice. Who wants to give us a closing prayer?
Donald Duck.
All right, then Donald Duck, go ahead.
I had to be funny on that one, Ken. both sides of me. Hey, there goes the prayer mail off. That was time just right. how about we let Rory do it tonight, because I'm going to have to run, because if not, I'm going to have issues.
All right. Well, then, Ruth, go ahead, and we'll be out of here tonight.
I'll do, Robbie. Thank you for all the trials and tribulations that we have to go through, and that one scripture that Kenny always talks about, to be content. Well, it's hard sometimes. Like right now, I'm going through a rough sickness. But, you know, the Lord, you're with me, and I know it, and be with all the other people who have prayer requests, too. And we just want to praise and bless your name. We love you, precious.
Amen. All right, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow night for Yes, It Is Here, tomorrow night, our tag team sermon with the four Six Eyes preachers is here tomorrow night, Proverbs 23:2. You'll want to join us tomorrow night. And then Friday, of course, is our final show of the Friday night talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show, the anniversary show, and the dedicated show to Mama Six. You'll want to join us for both of those, 9 p.m. Eastern, only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.
Good night, everyone.
God bless.